share a message. Comes to the end of the year, and I really like Christmas time. Hey, it's really good. We get this wonderful opportunity, really, where it's actually okay to be nice. Have you noticed this? It's okay to be generous, to speak a good word to someone. And it all comes really at its heart from the character of Jesus who brought us Christmas. So, look, I'm just going to say a word of prayer and we'll get into it. Jesus, I just want to thank you. Thank you that we can be here. Thank you that the earth is the Lord and all that is in it. And Jesus, we're just a group of people who love you, who want to worship you, want to serve you with our lives, want to see your kingdom come, want to see the increase of your government reigning and ruling over the earth as it should be, and the peace that issues from that. So, Lord, have your way. Speak to us. Speak to our hearts tonight. Release a word that will encourage us and build us up. Amen. Yeah. Hey, it's been a great year. If you've been part of Just Church in 2017, and even over the last 3 years, obviously we're a startup church, we're young, things are changing all the time. But my little reflection on 2017 has been that I guess it's been a time for deepening and strengthening of community, of our commitment and relationship with Jesus. And that is really encouraging to me. Certainly been the case in my own life, and I trust it has been for you also. You know, it's towards the later part of 2017, there's been all sorts of stuff going on in society. Hey, we've had like the whole same-sex marriage thing. It hasn't always been a super encouraging time this year as a Christian. That's a reality. But my feeling in all of that has been just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing together a community and strengthening us and centering us on you, on your word, giving us an anchor that isn't actually influenced or swayed by the society around us. I'm really, really grateful for that. And I know, you know, there's a whole different demographic in Just Church, a lot of young people. There's a bunch of us who have got, you know, little children growing up. And we are just so conscious that what they see and what they experience actually here in this community is the first thing that they see of Jesus, of his kingdom, before they can understand all of that and even connect with God. They see how people connect with God. And I'm really grateful for the sake of our children that they're growing up seeing that Christianity is something that is not just a tag on, but that is a vital, is a center in our life. That really, really blesses me as a dad. And I know that, you know, this is not a time for sitting on the fence as believers. It's a time to really grab hold of the truth that is found in Jesus Christ. And anyway, in the middle of all that, I'm also just really grateful that, you know, one of the things that we value in Just Church is, you know, found in 1 Peter chapter 2, that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that there isn't, you know, a special person who hears from God for the sake of everyone, that we connect vitally to him and then we contribute out of that. So I just want to add my little thanks that a lot of you, more than a dozen of you, have had the chance to bring a word here at Just Church this year. That's something that we are passionate about, because in BYO every other week in small church, you know, that's not just an idea for us. That's because we really believe that each person can connect with God, can receive, and then can contribute out of that vital relationship that they have. So I'm just really blessed every time I hear someone bring something that's, you know, from the Word, something that's on their heart, some revelation, something that's transformed and changed them, that builds me up and strengthens me as well. So really grateful for that. So tonight, I just want to, yeah, I love this verse. Hey, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. If you've been on the reading plan, Joe gave it a plug before, I'll double up the plug tonight. It's just been a great encouragement and unraveling of peace, of what Jesus came to bring for us. And like I said just a moment ago, we get this little window of time at this time of year where you can just be positive. Have you noticed this? It's okay to give people a compliment. It's okay to wish them Merry Christmas. You can even write them a card. They don't think you're weird. Even blokes, you can get away with that, which is great because we've got some chocolates. You're going to have a chance at getting away with it by giving something good to your neighbours, just a little box of chocolates and a little note that the kids are writing tonight. We get a window to share about peace. We get a window to share about joy. And no doubt people want it. No doubt people understand that, you know, when they're overstressed, overrushed, overbusy, that something's not 100% right. But you know, just saying it, even just giving a little Christmas greeting, it's also, there's a risk that door shuts because it's kind of just a platitude. It's just a nice thing to say. And that may be the case if it really didn't have its source in God and what He's released to us, not just at Christmas, but throughout all of our year. You know, I've been meditating and just reflecting on this verse from 1 Peter. I think we read it in the reading plan early in the year, and it just grabbed me. It says, seek peace and pursue it. Just really, I don't know why it just grabbed me. Maybe because I think peace is just this vague and nebulous thing, that maybe I feel at peace now, I don't feel at peace then, I hope I feel at peace sometimes. But something to be sought after is probably not on the top of the list of things that I naturally would seek after, peace. And yet, here's this godly encouragement to seek peace, pursue peace, find it, get it in your life. And then as I've looked around, I do discover that people are seeking after peace. Broadly speaking, I think in a couple of different ways. They seek a place that is peaceful. And every now and again, I do that too. I go on holidays. I had a great little weekend away last weekend. We found a place not far from here that didn't have any mobile reception. That was quite good for establishing a little bit more peace in our life. It also didn't have our children. That was a little bit more peaceful too. It's great to go and get away. But if that is your answer for establishing peace, for finding peace, then I'm not sure that that's going to work out real well. You know, a few years ago, I had a great chance to travel around the world, a bunch of different countries when I was, you know, at uni and just had time to burn. And it was a fantastic experience. And everywhere I went, all over the place, in Switzerland and in Thailand and everywhere in between, I found travelers, something about the travel thing, people seeking after something, seeking after a place where they would feel at home, a place where they would feel at peace. It was really noticeable. They were, and the age groups, you could always pick the ones who were just that little bit older, and they're still in the youth hostels. They're still out seeking. They're still traveling. They're still trying to find that place. I met this one dude in Switzerland, and he told me that he had spent a year living on the top. 2 years, actually, living on the top of a mountain, actually in the Himalayas. It was way more dramatic than that, but that was the best picture I could get. In a teepee, he spent 2 years living in a teepee at the top of a 2,000-metre climb, hand-over-foot climb, up a mountain. He had gone to great lengths to try and find a place where somehow the experience of being there would put him at peace. He didn't find it. He didn't find it. And more than that, you know, I see that in that desire, you know, probably I'll give you an admission. Many nights I go to sleep, and before I actually sleep and have, you know, dreams in my sleep, I have dreams that are not in my sleep. Anyone experience that? You know, repetitive things that run through my mind. Often the things that run through my mind are like, a place which will have, you know, less responsibility, you know, everything's going fine, where I get alone time, you know, it's my day, it's my dream before my dreams. It's this dream of peace, longing for that place. But the thing is, if I was to actually go and try and find it, I realize it clashes with godly responsibility. You know, peace would be maybe not having my children around all the time. Well, that can't be a godly thing. Peace would be leaving the responsibilities I have in my workplace. Well, that would not be a godly thing, and that would leave other people in the lurch. It would mean failing on responsibilities and things I put my hand to. You know, if peace is only to be found externally, then we have a problem. And, you know, in this can't be what Jesus was getting at. Hey, he said, towards the end, he's giving some advice to his disciples. He's about to leave earth, and in John 16 he says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you're going to have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. See, if you're seeking peace in the world, in a place, in a situation, then Jesus has already told you you're not going to find it there. That's not where peace is to be found. You might get a snippet of it, and even in that, Jesus withdrew, got away, quiet. And why did he do that? He did that to connect with his Father, to connect with God and the source of peace. So I really hope you get some rest over Christmas and get some time away and some time to revitalize. But ultimately, that is not where you're going to find peace. You're going to find it in God alone. And somewhere in the other half of the equation, I see a pursuit of peace inside, you know. Call it mindfulness, call it meditation, whatever. Effectively, it's a call to empty yourself, to remove maybe all the things that, and try and blank your mind out. And somehow, through that process, you will find peace. But the interesting thing is that when I look inside, I don't find peace there either. If I can get rid of every other thing of distraction and every other person that can rock my boat, I find that I rock my boat. My heart is not at peace. I don't find rest there. I find warring tensions between myself and desires that I like and things that I want to do that I don't do. And you know, Paul kind of nailed this, didn't he? He says, although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. You know, I don't see peace inside of people. I don't see a pursuit of peace bearing what we really desire if it's only to be found inside people. And yet, through it all, Jesus said, you will receive peace. Said, I'm the Prince of Peace. Hundreds of years before he walked on earth, it was described that that's what he would bring, of the increase of his government and of peace. There will be no end. There will be a continuation, a rolling out. And in the middle of this whole message of Christmas, I think there's an invitation there to reestablish our place of peace, you know. And I don't know what that word kind of, what connotation comes to you, but in the language it was written in, it's this word shalom, which means a place. It's not just peace. It's not just two parties that, you know, have a good relationship. It's a sense of wellness. It's a sense of wholeness. It's a sense of restoration and of welfare, of a sphere, if you like, where things are good, where things can grow, where things can prosper. That was what was spoken about in Jesus Christ and what was said to be increasing and increasing through the work of Jesus. So that brings us back, doesn't it, to Jesus. Where do we find peace? We've looked at, you know, we can't just go and find a peaceful place and have that really answer everything. We can't find it inside ourselves. And we have Jesus here, this person who invited us to himself and said, in me, you'll have peace. Love this word, hey, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. You know, because at the heart of it, Jesus reconciled the root problem that we have that causes the chaos. He reconciled us in our relationship to God. That's what he came to do, to reestablish a relationship of peace right where we need it. You know, it's good for us to have a time at Christmas where we have a chance to dwell on the goodness of Jesus, because it's all too easy, you know, Monday morning, Tuesday at 10 o'clock, for life to be crowding in and shaking these things that are really at the heart of what Jesus has come to bring for us. And so I want to remind us tonight, collectively, I want to remind myself too, that we have a peace that found in Christ that goes beyond our circumstances. If it didn't, we would be in deep trouble. You know, I love, you know, in Philippians 4, that as we bring our needs, as we bring our prayers and our petitions before the Lord, that he grants us a peace that goes beyond our understanding. If it weren't that way, then it would be a shallow offer. And it would be nothing more than the kind of platitudes you roll out at Christmas. And so perhaps just in the middle of all that, there's a message. There's a message not just for us, but a message also for us to roll out. You know, it says of the expansion or the increase of his government, of the increase of shalom, of the increase of peace, there will be no end. That sounds to me more like not just a thing that's been solved in time, like our problem, our broken relationship with God the Father, but something that's intended to roll out over our life and over what we do, where we are, our sphere, if you like. And so I think that not only do we have peace received from God, that's a great thing, but that we're called to actually contribute, be part of the mission, if you like, of bringing peace. And here at Christmas, what an opportunity that we have to actually expand or extend peace around us. I'll skip a couple of slides, and it says, sounds to me more like a river than just a moment in time. And this dude by the name of Horatio Spafford, he wrote a hymn actually in a moment when he was reflecting on the tragic death of his daughters and his wife in an accident at sea. And he wrote a line that says, when peace like a river attends my way. It seems that is what it looks like for the increase of his government and his peace to know no end, to extend like a river out and through us. So just reflecting again on this seek peace and pursue it, there's a connotation of action there, of actually doing something proactive, not just waiting for peace or hoping for it to come, a vague and nebulous thing, but actually doing something about that. And I was just reflecting on Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called sons of God, or they'll be seen to have the character and nature of God, those who make peace. So I thought, you know, considering it's a tangible or action-orientated sort of thing that we're encouraged towards, to try and come up with what does that look like, you know? It's a tangible action. I was thinking of jobs. I went and had a look on Seek.com. I just typed in peace, as you can see. I found no hits for jobs that involve peace. There's some random sort of things. You can be a data scientist or an early childhood teacher, program manager. They're completely random, the kind of hits you get on a search for peace. I went through three pages and I couldn't find anything that would allow you to enact peace, or at least not in a way that anyone will pay you for. So I was still, you know, seeking. So I thought I'll put in peacemakers into Google. Peacemakers into Google got me lots of guns, actually. There's probably a lesson in that I don't know what it is right now. But but I'm not winning. But a couple of things did come up in my search that I thought were intriguing, and one of them was this: these dudes, they're UN. You might have seen them on the news. That is actually a job you can get if you're a policeman or a soldier. You can go and become part of that force. There's hundreds of thousands of people. The job description goes something like, we're not going to give you a gun and we're going to send you to the most dangerous places on earth, the most war-torn, destructive, chaotic places, and you're there as a peacekeeping force. It's interesting. They don't give them guns, or they just give them some really light weapons to defend their lives if their lives are being attacked or in danger. And there's something of that in Jesus, even in Jesus at Christmas time. You know, Jesus was a peacemaker because he left the place of peace, and he actually entered a world of chaos, and he actually. The world he entered was occupied by, you know, the tyrannical Romans. There wasn't peace there where he was. In fact, if you know the story well, when the ruler of the day, Herod, found out that a young boy had been born that was said to be the ruler to come, he just killed all the young boys. This was not a place where there was peace. This was a place of chaos and destruction. And that is the place that Jesus entered. See, peacemakers don't retreat and try and find somewhere that is your little safe space. Peacemakers don't just retreat internally into themselves and find peace there. Peacemakers actually go into chaos and bring and establish peace. See, that's what Jesus did. That's what Christmas is all about. And that is actually something tangible, friends, that we can contribute into. And I want to encourage you this Christmas to do so. See, I don't know, maybe you're a little bit like me, that everything around you isn't at peace at the moment. And there's two, you know, you can either respond by being a peacemaker, by acting in such a way that peace is established, or you can just hope that it gets better. You can just hope that something else will come about. We all operate in spheres. You know, it's the end of the year. Maybe in your workplace, you know, things get a little bit frayed. Everyone's kind of a little bit worn out. You can actually be a person that brings peace into those places. You can be a person to reconcile first. Someone's wronged you. You can take the first step to make it right. That would be being a peace bringer and a peacemaker. You know, you can do that in your family. You can do that, I don't know if you're like me, but the idea of family Christmas, maybe there's someone in your mind who you think, I'm not sure that I really want to see them this Christmas. Chances are there's something unreconciled about your relationship with that person if you're feeling that way. You can actually take a step and say, I'll be a peacemaker. I'll forgive first. I'll go with an attitude of Christ into that situation. I'll trust and receive something of his power and his transformation so that I can actually walk out peace in my surroundings. I'll be a peacemaker. So it's an encouraging message. Hey, you know, at Christmas time, there's a depth and a substance to what we bring. Maybe it's platitudes on every card that you see on every shop front, and everyone's trying to flog off a message to sell a product or whatever it is. But in the middle of it all, there's a little window where we can connect again with God our Saviour. We can receive from him reconciliation with God the Father. We can remember it in the middle of all the chaos that God has done the thing that we need so desperately. And beyond that, we can walk out that peace. We can be part of contributing to the increase of that peace in government, which will know no end. We can let peace actually flow like a river from us. And I pray that that we will, that we'll take that challenge, that we'll reconcile, that we'll walk in peace. So let me say a word of prayer. Jesus, we're just thankful that you're good to us, that you came to us, that you didn't leave that I guess you didn't just leave us searching for heaven, searching for something good. You came and showed us the way, and you came and brought peace into our chaos, Lord Jesus. And you're not afraid of whatever chaos we can throw your way. You're not afraid of our sin. You're not afraid of our brokenness. Jesus, you meet us in it, and you reconciled us to our Father. And we want to thank you firstly for that tonight, Jesus. And Jesus, also just want to thank you that you gave us a mission, like just as you came and you brought peace and you established peace, that you've called us and encouraged us and given us all that we need in you to be those people in our spheres of influence. So Lord, would you empower us tonight and over Christmas to take opportunities to bring peace, to speak life into our communities, our spheres of influence, our workplaces. Lord Jesus, we even take simple things like a box of chocolates to our neighbours. Maybe there's tension there that we can reconcile. Lord, I pray that you give us humility and grace to do that, that we'd act as you would, Jesus. And I pray in the doing of that, that you'd open a door for your gospel message of peace, of goodness and of life to come and to be established more and more in our city. Amen.